Being a self-employed working mom can make it a challenge to get everything done. For years, I ran two companies full-time and homeschooled our kids while my husband worked a full-time job. So in this episode, I am going to share 10 of my favorite productivity tips that have helped me get more done in less time. Welcome to the From Better Half to Boss podcast. I'm Tavia Redburn, and on this show, I share how I retired my husband from his 9-to-5 with my birth photography business, all while homeschooling my three kids. If you have a passion, there is a reason. It's because you were made to follow that passion. It's your time to go from better half to boss. Hey y'all, I'm Tavia, and I help photographers learn how to specialize and get fully booked with ideal clients so they can go full time. I do this with the Beauty and Birth Photography Certification and through Marketing School for Photographers. So, like I said in the intro, I ran two full-time businesses, Tavia Redburn Photography and the Beauty and Birth, while homeschooling my three kids who were ages 8 and under while my husband worked a full-time job. And I'm not saying this to brag or tell you how awesome I am, more so that it actually can be done and that running a full-time business does not have to mean that you're working full-time hours and that homeschooling your kids also doesn't have to look like school at home. And what I mean by that is I think that sometimes we think homeschooling our kids looks like what a traditional school timeframe would look like. So 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. or something like that. So if you're thinking, okay, so if a normal job is 8-to-5 and you're running two full-time businesses and homeschooling your kids, like how on earth are you doing literally anything else? But the truth is that it doesn't have to be full-time hours in order to accomplish all of these things. Now, maybe you just want to run a part-time photography business, or maybe you want a part-time photography business with a full-time income. Maybe you don't want to homeschool your kids, or maybe you desire to achieve everything that I've already shared of homeschooling your kids and running a full-time business, maybe even bringing your spouse home from their 9-to-5. And so I just wanted to share a brief look at my story and kind of how I was able to do all of that is what we're going to be talking about in this episode. Now, if you're listening to this while you are multitasking, I get it. So to help you out, we took notes for you. So you can download a checklist of all of the 10 productivity tips for photographers totally free that we're talking about here today. Head over to taviaredburn.com/save time. My first name is spelled T-A-V as in victory, I-A, last name redburn.com/save time. Okay, let's save time by getting into the tips. Tip number one, you know this one, work when your kids are asleep. And for a lot of parents, the most challenging part of working from home is that usually your kids are there too, right? And when the kids are awake, it can be really difficult to focus on anything else. Chances are you're already squeezing in work when they're sleeping, right? Or maybe when they're having screen time. I did this for many years too when my kids were babies and toddlers. And in that time, I had a child who was a really, really terrible sleeper, meaning she basically only ever slept on me. And it was a challenge. So I want to share something with you that most people don't want to hear. Are you ready for it? I used to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning so that I would have a solid 3 hours to get in quiet time and focused thinking work before my kids got up at 8 a.m. When they were 2 to 3 years old, I trained them to stay in their rooms if they woke up before 8 o'clock using the green light toddler clock. So I know that it might be like, wait, how did you get them to stay in their rooms until 8, right? Mine are like waking me up at 6:30. And I know it always used to happen to me too, that when I would wake up, they would wake up early. So when they were old enough to understand to stay in their room until their light turned green, that was a huge, huge time saver for me. Now, did it take some training? Did it take some effort? Yes, of course. I didn't buy the light and they immediately listened and like stayed in their room. It took some guidance. It took some time of me taking them back to their room, showing them their light wasn't green yet, and they had to stay in until it was green. But once they learned that they could come out at 8 when their light turned green, and that's when we could have breakfast and family time, they started adhering to that boundary. Now, if you're somebody who does their work best in the evening, you can totally swap this same idea of working when your kids are asleep by working after your kids go to bed. And if your kids are old enough, make sure and set clear boundaries with your kids so that they know when you're working and when you should not be disturbed. For many years, I would put post-it notes on the doors of my office letting them know that I was working and I was doing focused work and they didn't need to come in unless it was an emergency. Now, my kids were older at that point. They knew how to read. They understood mommy was working, that kind of thing. So I think it really depends on the ages of your kids. So if you have babies, if you have toddlers at home, productivity tip number two is to get help with the kids. Get help with the kids because sure, it's easy to squeeze in an hour here or there when your kids are home. But what about sessions and consultations and longer stretches of working, right? It's time to get some help with the kids so that you can focus. And I would say that this was critical to my success of being able to homeschool and run two businesses is that I had help with the kids every single week. So we had our normal daily structure, and then there were 2 days a week where they were gone from probably about 8 o'clock until 3 o'clock. And I would send their school with them, or if somebody came over to help, they would do their school here. And so this might be something that you've been putting off because you're not sure who to ask or you're not sure how much to pay. And it feels overwhelming, but I'm telling you that once you can get that lined up, it frees up. It's like being given the gift of time. It really is. Because when you can sit down and do work in a focused manner, you're able to get so much more done, right? So getting help with the kids can be a few things. Number one, on the weekend, right? You don't even have to find anybody because chances are your partner is home off work on the weekend. And so you can work on the weekend. Now, I will tell you, I never liked working on the weekend. So this is not something that I ever did because I wanted to be down, like having downtime with my family on the weekend. But if you're in a position where you're like, I literally cannot find anyone to help me, that is an option to maybe work for 4 or 5 hours on the weekend. Okay. Option two is to hire or trade babysitting with somebody. This is a really, really good option, especially if you're a birth photographer and you are on call and you want to trade on-call childcare with another birth photographer or a doula or somebody else who has something similar, and you're not able to pay each other, but instead you're just available for each other to keep each other's kids. That is a free way to get childcare for your kids, even if they're not a birth worker, even if it's just somebody in your neighborhood and you say like, hey, can my kids come over on Thursday from 12 to 3 and on Tuesday your kids come over from 12 to 3 or something like that. It just frees up that space in your brain to know, okay, from 12 to 3, I know I can get some dedicated work done, right? What I actually did, and this is something that, you know, of course is available to you if it's available to you, is to get a family member or a friend to help out. I had my we're lucky enough that my mother-in-law and my mom live within just a few miles of us in the same city. My husband and I were both homeschooled, so they're both homeschooling moms who were able to help with the schooling. Now, don't listen to that and think, well, my mom's not a homeschooling mom or she doesn't live near me, so I can't do this. I just want to be transparent with you guys and let you know exactly what I did and how I did it. And it was that we really leaned on our family support network that we have here. But I have no doubt that if we didn't have that, I would have used some of the other options that I just described to you to get childcare. I'm spending a lot of time here because I know that when you have kids underfoot as a mom, it can be really hard to 100% focus on what you're doing. I'm reminded of when I used to do CrossFit like hardcore and my kids would be up there with me. I could never work out as hard as I could when they weren't up there because just something about being a mom when your kids are around, it's just hard to focus 100% on what you're doing. And so I know that working when your kids are asleep is great, but if you can get help with the kids to have focused, dedicated work time, it's going to make a huge difference in what you're able to get done and productivity in your business. Okay, so those are two really important things. Now, assuming that you have something like that happening, let's move on to productivity tip number three, which is to complete similar tasks at the same time. Have you ever tried to make a post on Facebook and answer emails and feed the baby and blow dry your hair all at the same time? Okay, maybe not to that extreme, but I think that most of us know by now that there's really no such thing as being good at multitasking, even as women, right? Because when you switch from task to task, there's something called context switching that happens in your brain, which basically means it takes your brain a little bit of time to adjust when you switch from one task to another. Which really is no problem if you're switching tasks every hour or two. But when you're switching tasks every 3 minutes, a lot of your working time is being taken up by context switching. So that is why I learned a long time ago to focus on one task at a time until it is done. In addition to that, I like to think of how my brain works and chunk those tasks together too. So here's what I mean. I do my creative thinking, like when I need to write a podcast episode or when I need to create something or when I need to post something, those are my creative tasks and I like to do them all together. Writing social media posts, creating new modules for my courses, creating bonuses and content. Those require my mind to be fresh and creative. So I usually do those tasks together at the same time. And for me, I do that best first thing in the morning. And I've learned that about myself. So what about you? Can you think of when you typically do your best thinking? Is it in the afternoon, after lunch? I would be surprised if it was, because after lunch, I want to take a nap, right? Is it in the evening after your kids go to bed? Is that when your brain turns on? Is it first thing in the morning, like me? Knowing that about yourself is going to really help you figure out when to do specific tasks. So just pay attention to when you need to write something. When does it feel easy and when does it feel hard? Other things that you can think about sort of chunking together are things where you have to get ready, right? Like what I know when I need to record a video or have a Zoom meeting or go live, I do all of those things in the same day if possible, because those are my, what Michael Hyatt calls on stage days, where I know that I'm going to have to be in front of people. And that just requires my introvert brain to sort of like rev up in a certain way than in a different way when I'm creating content, right? And then mindless things like editing or checking emails or responding to comments, those things can all go together too. And for me, that typically happens at the end of my workday when I know my brain is less likely to be creative and like firing on all cylinders. I do those kind of mindless activities towards the end of the day. Productivity tip number four is one that I struggle with all the time, you guys. I struggle with it all the time. That is, don't leave your email, your Facebook, your social media open, and don't leave your text message notifications on. I know that this is one we all still do, like I said, myself included. I have Facebook and Slack and text notifications on as I am writing this episode. So I'm by no means perfect. But I know that when I need to do thinking work, I have to close everything down in order to focus, especially my emails. Maybe you can relate, because I want you to think about it like this. You have some time, right? You have some focus time to write a blog post about why birth photography is worth the money. And you get an email as you're typing the blog post from a client that says they don't want to book with you after all because it's too expensive. And you're just like, like that kind of takes the wind out of your sails, right? Email and social and text are all a distraction. So whenever possible, keep those things turned off when you're working. Now, of course, I know you're like, but if I'm a birth photographer, how am I going to know if somebody goes into labor? There are special settings on your phone where you can turn your phone on do not disturb, but allow certain phone numbers to always push through. And so I would make sure for sure your clients, their partners, the midwives you work with often are always able to get through to you and kind of bypass the do not disturb, but you can still turn it on as a whole for anyone else who might be trying to contact you. Productivity tip number five is to give yourself a set amount of time to complete a task. Each week on Sunday, I write down all of the things that went well for the week and things that didn't go well for the week. And lately, just about every week, I write something like, giving myself a set amount of time to complete a task makes me more productive. And when I know when I write the same thing over and over, it's got to be true every single week, right? I focus on that. So why is it that when I give myself a set amount of time to complete a task, it makes me more productive? Because I know that if I have 20 minutes to write two social media captions, I can't overthink it. I am forcing myself to embody done is better than perfect. Parkinson's law is one that I remind myself and my students of often, and it states that the work will fill the time allotted to complete the work. For example, if you have been needing to tidy your house all week and you're like, oh, I need to do that, pick up a few things here and there, it might take a while, right? But what about if a friend calls you or your mother-in-law calls you and it's like, hey, I'm right down the road and I wanted to bring you something. Can I stop by? Girl, you better believe you are going to be cleaning up that house in 15 minutes, right? The 15 minutes it takes her to get there, your house is going to be clean and sparkly and shiny. Why? Because the work will fill the time allotted to complete the work. So would you rather get the task done in 20 minutes or 2 hours, right? Productivity tip number 6. I struggle with this one too. I know a lot of you do too. Don't procrastinate. Yes, that is a made up word. I'm going to explain what it means. Being a lifelong learner is an incredible quality. I always hope to learn, and it's something that I pray my kids pursue as they grow older, and that's knowledge. The problem is that when we're starting out in business or photography, we have a lot of learning to do, and working in our brain starts to become synonymous with learning. Let me say that again. When we have a lot of learning to do in the beginning of our business, working on our business starts to become synonymous with learning in our brains. And the truth is, there's a point where you have learned enough. Maybe this is for you today. You know what to do and you don't need to learn anymore. So when you continue to learn, that is called procrastinating, which is procrastinating by continuing to learn. So how do you know if you're procrastinating? When you're going to take action on something in your business, but you think that you need to watch a how-to video first or go back and watch that part of the course again, and learning is stopping you from taking action, that is how you know you're procrastinating. In my courses, every single video forces you to take action while you learn. So how do I know about procrastinating? Well, personal experience. I used to be a serial procrastinator, and I want to give you permission that it is okay to take imperfect action and change things later if you need to. Productivity tip number 7 is learn on the go. Podcasts and audiobooks and courses can be consumed on the go. That means while you're waiting in school pickup lines, or while your baby is napping in the car, or you're driving to a baseball tournament 2 hours away, you can learn in the car. I absolutely love learning this way. I do. But I will say that there's value in letting your brain rest and using those times to not learn. So be intentional about what you're learning on the go. Are you doing this learning because you think that it's what you need to grow, or do you have something specific that you want to learn right now? Maybe SEO or content creation or creating vendor partnerships. If that's so, awesome, learn on the go, but don't let listening to podcasts or audiobook be something that you need to constantly fill your brain because you don't ever let yourself and your brain have time to rest. Be intentional about your learning time, but learning on the go is a great way to sort of time hack a little bit. Productivity tip number 8 is to prioritize your tasks. Not everything is important and not everything needs to be done. I'm going to repeat that for you. If you're drifting away from me, come back because this is important. Not everything is important and not everything needs to be done. So I want you to ask yourself, what needs to get done this week for my clients and for my marketing? And then I want you to brain dump everything that comes to mind. Then, looking at that list, start with the important things that you don't want to do. I want you to eat the frog. I don't know if you've ever heard this analogy, but basically you're going to identify on that list the frog, the most like challenging or annoying or even important task of the day. And you're going to do that first. You're going to eat the frog. Don't give yourself a chance to put it off later. Okay, this is one that I've been teaching myself to do because it seems that those important tasks that I know I need to do that I don't really want to do get pushed further and further down. And so when I'm making my to-do list and prioritizing my tasks, I say, eat the frog, do the thing that I don't really want to do, get it done, and you'll find yourself being so much more productive in your week. Then after you eat the frog, look at the rest of your brain dump list that you made. And I want you to keep these things in mind, the four D's. Delegate, delete, defer, and do. With those remaining tasks, which can you delegate to somebody else? Can you delete completely? Does this actually even need to get done? That's such an important question to ask. Can you defer it to next week? Does it have to be done this week or could it be done next week? And then there will be some left that you actually need to do. Now, if you've already been doing something like this, or you've got your sort of prioritizing your tasks done well already, I want to give you like a pro level tip, okay? Once you have a list of tasks to do for the week and you've made it through this process, I then want you to estimate how long it's going to take for you to complete each task. And it's just going to be an estimate. It doesn't have to be perfect, okay? And then compare that with how much time you actually have to work that day or that week to determine if this is something that you can actually finish this week. I found several months ago, my to-do list was very, very long. And when I assigned times to everything, in addition to my existing consults and meetings and appointments, I was scheduling like 70 hours of work for myself to do every single week and wondered why I got to the end of the week and was like, why didn't I get everything done? And so if you've been doing something like this for a while, start to assign how long you think each of those tasks is going to take you and compare that to the working hours that you have during the week so that you don't get to the end of your week and feel like all this work you did wasn't good enough. The truth is you kind of set yourself up not to be successful by loading your plate with so many things, okay? Don't worry if you need help remembering all of the things that I am talking about with you and that we've talked about here today so far, because I have a cheat sheet for you that contains everything so that you can review it and choose the 2 to 3 tips that you want to implement for yourself. You can download it at taviaredburn.com/save time. Okay, productivity tip number 9. Delegate. We kind of talked about delegate in the previous with the 4 D's, and I'm not going to go too deep into this because we also just did 2 episodes with Sarah Monica on the podcast all about how to decide if you're ready to outsource and which tasks to outsource as a photographer. I just want you to think about a few key things when you're thinking about delegating or outsourcing, okay? Number one, it's not as expensive as you might think to hire a VA, especially if you hire one overseas who is willing to be trained. Hiring someone who is experienced is always going to be more expensive, okay? You also don't have to give this person a full-time job. I think a lot of times when we think about hiring or outsourcing, we think we have to give them 40 hours a week. I'm not ready for that. You don't. You can literally just give them a few, 2, 3, 5 hours a week, as long as you communicate that really clearly up front. The third is to pay attention to the tasks that you do over and over. This means it's something that you've learned to duplicate and it can be taught. If it's something you're doing over and over, like making an album or ordering a print, for example, that can easily be outsourced. It's something that is teachable. I want you to listen to the full episode with Sarah Monica. I'll link it in the show notes. There's actually 2 of them, but one of them is 8 things that you could get a VA to do in your photography business. This is such a valuable episode. Make sure and go listen to it for all the details on delegating or outsourcing. Okay, the 10th productivity tip is take care of yourself. This is actually a productivity tip. And this is one that we hear all the times as mom, right? Like as a mom, we hear you have to take care of yourself. You can't pour from an empty cup, right? But it's really very true. We can run hard for a while. And I am so guilty of this myself, or I used to be. But if we don't stop to rest, we're going to crash. Something in our work life or our business life will suffer. So a few ways that I have learned to take care of myself, and it might not be what you think, I have been paying really close attention to how different foods and drinks make me feel. Some of you know, because I've talked about it on Instagram stories, is I don't drink coffee anymore, and I haven't for several months. And that's a big deal. Like, I love and still love waking up and drinking coffee first thing in the morning. But I started to notice that, like a lot of you can imagine, I'm sure I would crash at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was like, I could not get myself out of that funk unless I drink more caffeine, right? Which then would keep me up all night. And it's like a vicious cycle. So I switched to liquid IV energy packets instead of coffee. Now, those still have caffeine, but it's a lower amount of caffeine, and it has other things inside of it that are good for you that I don't know the names of. You can Google liquid IV energy. This is not like sponsored by them, but I love drinking those packets because it makes me feel good. And if I wasn't paying attention to how different foods and drinks made me feel, I would have just kept drinking coffee and kept crashing at 3 p.m., right? Dairy and sugar are delicious, but my body does not like them. Tavia likes them. Tavia's body, not so much. And so I don't not have dairy or sugar, but I have it knowing how it's going to affect me later in the day and how it's going to affect me later in the week. And I have to decide as an adult if I'm willing to take that risk. That is a way that I take care of myself. Since I haven't been drinking caffeine, or not coffee, I suppose, I've been looking at different ways to naturally have energy. And one of those is moving for 30 minutes, 5 times a week. Now, it is brutally hot right here in Oklahoma right now. It's like 106 degrees every single day. So moving looks a little bit more like 6 a.m. walks with my dog, right? But just doing something like that to get a little bit physical helps my energy throughout the rest of the day. I rest extra when I feel like I need it. After we launched marketing school a couple of weeks ago, I took a Wednesday after, actually I took the whole Wednesday off, and we went to an arcade with my family. We went bowling. We went out to eat. Like, we just had a fun family day because I could tell after all that energy I exerted in the launch, I needed to take time off. So maybe for you, that looks like after a birth, after being on call, you need to take a full day off and just spend it with your people, spend it with your family. So taking care of yourself doesn't always look like getting a massage or going to the spa or getting a pedicure. While some of those things definitely can be taking care of yourself, I look at things a little bit differently now that I'm a little bit older and how I can take care of myself. My question to you is, have you heard some of these tips before? Maybe all of them. And are you actually doing them? I hope that you'll pick 2 or 3 that stick out to you and work on implementing them this week. Because a huge question that I get from moms all the time is, how do I find the time to get it all done? My friend, this episode is the answer to that question. Of course, I love that you're to the end of another episode, but it's not going to do you any good if you don't execute on some of these insights, right? Don't forget to download the cheat sheet from this episode at taviaredburn.com/save time. We're also going to link Sarah Monica's episodes about outsourcing in the show description. My friend, if you have a passion, it's not an accident. Not everyone loves the thing that you love, even if it might feel like it sometimes. So I hope that you will get out there and make it happen. Have a great week.